Go ahead, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians, please. You go to the first chapter. And I just want to point out something here in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to teach on watching in prayer. But I want to start here in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You realize that God calls you saints. Okay? Yeah, you get that, right? What does that mean? That means heaven's holiest. Well, you just got to wait and learn a little bit more. It means heaven's holiest. He thinks a lot about you. He calls you the saints, and he writes this to the people who are at Ephesus, and really to all of us, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is really written to and can be understood by those who are faithful. When I was growing up as a kid, I went to a different church, and I didn't understand what they were talking about half the time. Now, some of it was because I was a child, and some of it was because they weren't talking in English. You know, it was in Latin. But I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I really didn't know what God had promised. I knew that Jesus Christ died for me, and I knew that God loved me, but I really didn't know his promises. This is written to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and when you get done reading this book, we're going to go to verse 2 here, but when you get done reading this book, you really do understand that God, he loves you. He has promised you great and blessed, marvelous and wonderful promises and blessings, and that you also have a duty to perform to him. It says here in verse 2, it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," past tense, "blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." He has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The point is, if you don't read the Bible and you don't know what those blessings are, you really can't enjoy them very much. You can't appreciate them. You can't even be thankful for them because you don't know what it is. Without studying the scriptures and really looking at it and realizing that this is not just the words of men, but the word of God written to you. These are letters written to you. You wouldn't appreciate what you have. You know, how do I know that you love me, Brielle?
Because two things. You always say it every single day. And because God's word says you have to love everybody. You may not like them, but you have to love everybody.
That's right. We tell each other that we love each other, right? We get, and the word of God tells us to love everybody too. But we tell each other that we love. We tell each other that we care. Our actions and our words are the things that prove it. Now, if you can't hear the person or they never tell you, then you sit around and wonder. You know, you sit around and you wonder, do they really love me? So God constantly tells us in his word what he has promised us. He tells us that he loves us. He tells us that he cares. He's made these things known. And unless you and I study it and look at it, we don't know. But for those who do, go to Ephesians 6. By the time you get to the end of this book, this letter, Because he makes known what he's done for us and how huge it was throughout the centuries. And then he tells us, gives us the way in which to walk our duty towards him. You know, to be loving, kind, to be an individual who is circumspect, knowing what's going on around you, to walk in light, to walk in love, to walk in humility. Those are the duties of a Christian believer, the faithful. That's what they do. And then he says to those who are faithful in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We are to be strong in the Lord, not anybody else. If I am strong in you, right, people I love, or if I'm strong in my family, people I love, and they have a bad day, this ain't going to do me any good, is it? If they're falling down and they need my help, if I'm strong in them, then I don't have anything really to give. But if I'm strong in the Lord as an individual believer and in the power of his might or his mighty power, then if each and every one of us do that, we can minister to each other. We can minister to each other when I am having a really bad time. I'm in a really dark and terrible place. You all can love me. Minister to me because you're walking in the power of God and your strength comes from him, not from your minister. Do you see what I mean? Ministers are just people, that's their service, their servants. You know, if you read the Bible, they have bad days. Same thing for you. All right? Each and every one of us is to be strong in the Lord. That's where my wife gets her strength from. That's where I get my strength from. Because if I'm relying totally on somebody else and the minister quits. First minister I ever had, he quit. Right in the middle of the thing, he walked out. I don't believe this anymore. He walked out. So all of us that were sitting around, we just said, well, okay, you've been around here long enough. You finish it. You finish the teaching. You know, the whole meeting didn't quit because the one guy quit. He was having a really bad day. Now, I haven't had that happen to me again. That happened to me in 1972. And it hasn't happened since. Praise the Lord, yeah. But it happens. People get hurt. People get sick. People die. You can't have everything rely upon somebody else. Your relationship with God is the most important thing. God first, right? So we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might or his mighty power. We are to put on the armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to put on the armor. God will show us what this is figuratively here in a minute. But you got to put on. You are a spiritual warrior as far as he's concerned. You are an individual who is in a fight, whether you like it or not, because the world is ruled by evil. The adversary, the devil, Satan, is the one who orchestrates it all. You know, but the point is, the world is filled with it. And you put on God's armor, you show up, because the faithful ones do. See, this is written to the faithful. This is, can be appreciated by the faithful. The faithful can carry this out. Because the whole place, it's a spiritual battle. It may look like a physical battle in front of you, but it's really spiritual. And the only way that can be defeated, won, overcome, is through spiritual means. That's why the weapons here and the armor is not physical. You know, I got, Glenn gave me, it's in the back up on the shelf, he gave me a gift of the armor one time, right? But it's not physical armor, it's spiritual armor. And look at what it says. So you take heed, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You need the truth of God's word as the foundation. Your loins. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The truth is the word of God. The helmet of salvation is talking about what's in the Word, the aspect of salvation and understanding it. You know, all of this, the shield of faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. Again, you armor yourself with God's Word and specific things spoken of, but the point is, you're in a spiritual battle, you are a warrior. If you don't show up for the fight, you're a casualty. Every house on the block is a casualty. We've all got stuff. I mean, we've all got places in our life that, you know, I've been hurt. And then it says in verse 18, praying. Now, this doesn't break. It's not a chapter break. It's not a new thought. You put this armor on. You put the word on. And then you pray. Then you pray. You want to turn the tide of the spiritual darkness in a person's life, in your life, in someone you love, in a nation, in a world. You pray. It says here, praying always with all prayer. It's a lot of different kinds of prayer. I have to go through it. There's prayers of praise, prayers of intercession, prayers of thanksgiving. There's speaking in tongues, which is praying in the Spirit. There is all different kinds of prayer. You pray with all prayer. And supplication. Supplication simply means a specific request. You know what? I know I make specific requests of God for you. You know, I've already prayed for your husband. You don't even know him yet, and neither do I. But I've been praying for him. I've been praying for his wife since he's in a basket. God knows. I don't. I may make it to that, but the point is, God knows. I pray for the kids coming up that'll teach the word one day. I pray for a lot of different things. But the things that I pray for, I specifically pray for the things that he puts on my heart to pray. See, you pray with all prayer. There's all kinds. And you do it being specific. You do this in the Spirit. In the Spirit means God is the one directing you as to what to pray for. What's going on? You know, I've been praying. I think I told you this a couple of years back, but I've been praying for Venezuela for a long time, right? This place is falling apart. I mean, a lot of God's people there who are in the middle of a tragedy that you and I have never comprehended in our entire life, where you can walk through a whole country and not find a job. You can walk through a whole country and not find a meal. In what was one of the richest nations in South America. You can just mess it up in a lifetime or less. So I prayed for him. I don't know anybody there. I just prayed. I pray for the guys in Bahamas when the storm. I pray for a lot of things that come my way. But I also pray for things that, like I said, spouses. I pray for the, after I'm long gone, I pray for the next ministers that will come up. I pray for God to provide his church with people and things. I pray for each and every one of you, obviously. I pray for your specific needs, those that I know of. You just pray with all prayer and supplication, specific request in the Spirit and watching. That word watching is a very interesting word. It's being on guard duty. It's standing guard. This is a soldier. This is the picture is that of a soldier with the armor on. And you're told, you put on the word, this is God's armor in the spiritual battle, and you pray. And you are on guard duty. I remember Mike told me when he was in, I think it was basic training, they used to have fire watch. It's stuff that they would stand in the hallways and wait to see if there was a fire, because they just didn't have enough things for people to do. It was the most secure building I'd ever seen in my life, you know. Can you imagine every hallway has got a young soldier there told to stand there all night and make sure there's no fires? Shh. Shh. Grandpa's talking. I mean, we are standing watch. We are the ones on the wall. We are the ones on the wall, not for ourselves so much, but for everybody else. We're on the wall for the church. We're on the wall for the nation. We're on the wall for the people. We are sincerely, if we are the faithful in Christ Jesus, then we are the ones standing watch, watching thereunto with all perseverance. You're not sleeping on the job. This is not a casual, oh God, bless this one. Take care of that one. This is not, you know, oh, thank you for the food. This is standing watch and persevering, not falling asleep. You're persevering, and you're doing with supplications. Again, that word is specific requests. And you're doing it for all the saints. We need each other, and we need each other to stand watch. My mother stood watch for me to get her son out of the hell that he was doing, this guy, and off the and turn to God, because I was a really good heathen. And she prayed and prayed and prayed for years. She watched with perseverance. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It's okay. Any kind of prayer is good prayer. Quick ones, little ones, easy ones. There's also those that take a considerable amount of time and look like they're never going to happen. And you never give up. That's the kind of thing that a spiritual warrior takes up. And Paul asks, he says in this epistle, please pray for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, Paul is literally in jail. He is not in a nice jail. He is in jail, and the sentence that's hanging over his head is that of being killed. All right? With Caesar. He didn't say, pray for me that I get out. He says, pray for me that I do the job I'm supposed to do. Make known the gospel. He just wrote this letter. If you read it, or if you have read it, there's not a single complaint in it. There's not a single mention of, I'm not happy. He's praising God. He's excited. He's making known to God's people the truth, the mystery, the great things of God. And the whole circumstance of the world around him, which is a whole lot worse than what anything you and I have gone through this week. It's not even a thought in the back of his mind. He just says, pray for me that I can make this thing known. He writes Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians out in this jail. First and second Timothy. That I know of. Maybe Philemon, I'm not sure, but those books I know for sure. They're all written while he's there. And you don't hear a word of complaint. He tells the guys in Philippi, you know, you're the best ones of all. You've helped me the most, and I'm so grateful and thankful because of that. And he tells them, my bonds. He talks about being in prison, but he's not complaining. He's rejoicing that the whole Praetorian Guard has got to hear the gospel. Can you imagine? He's, you know, so Paul is relentless. He's behind, or actually I believe it was a hole in the ground and they threw a grate over the top. There were no bathrooms, no nothing else. They just dug a hole. This was your cell. They threw you in, and then they put a steel grate over the top of it. Can you imagine the guards? Hey, you over there, I want to tell you about, I got something to tell you. Tell you about the gospel. God loves you. Jesus Christ came. He sent his son. Died. He died for every single person on the earth, so that we could have eternal life. And he's in a hole. See, the warrior, the faithful. It's incredible to me. That kind of prayer. Luke 22. Jesus showed us this kind of prayer. Luke 22, he makes a statement to Peter. Verse 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus Christ looks at Peter, and he says, the devil wants you, so he can just strip you out like wheat, you know, whatever sifting is, but sifting, as far as I know, is stripping the wheat off the stalk, getting it ready to cook. He wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You do this. Peter ain't got the strength right now, that's for sure. Because a few hours from here, he's going to be running away when they take Christ. When they start beating him, he's going to be, you can't find this guy for nothing. He just runs away because he's afraid. And then he does like the Lord says. He denies him three times. He hasn't got the strength now. But after the day of Pentecost, he got the strength. After the day of Pentecost, he didn't waver. He stood up in front of thousands and said, hey, be it known unto thee, this Jesus, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, he is both Lord and Christ. But the Lord was the one who stood watch. He asked the men at the garden, he says, stand watch with me for an hour. They all fell asleep. But he asked them to pray. Stand and watch. Stand and watch. I know that most of us don't appreciate how huge this is. But I think you just got to expand your heart to think about it deeply. Because it is huge. And it makes a huge difference. And let me just show you a couple other places in Scripture. Go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel was a very faithful and wonderful man of God. And Daniel spends a significant amount of time here in chapter 10 praying. He prayed and he fasted. Actually, in chapter 9, actually a number of times throughout the book, he is fasting and praying. And God gives him different visions and but I wanted to point out this one here in chapter 10. In verse 2 it says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks, 21 days. He mourned. Put himself in a place in his heart, and he asked God, he had done this in the previous, for forgiveness for the people of Israel. Remember, they were in captivity 70 years because of their unbelief, because they had turned their backs on God, because they were so arrogant and prideful. I don't need you. And, you know, folks get like that around here all the time. You really believe in God? I mean, most of us, we don't want to even talk about it because they're going to give us lip. I say, you don't? You know, you ain't making me feel bad. I couldn't be more proud and grateful and thankful. Isn't it really strange people don't believe in God sometimes? You don't know? But it was, he was 3 full weeks mourning. It says, and I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I appoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 4th and the 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, huh? Yeah, it's a Tigris, but it says something here in my King James. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain page got to be turned. A certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ufan. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. In other words, this is an angel. Okay? Jump down to verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. This angel shows up. He touches him, knocks him to his knees. Don't knock him down. Just says, sets him on his knees and on the palms of his hands. So he's there like a dog on all four. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Imagine hearing those words. Imagine here you are, you've been 3 weeks, you've been in a state of fasting where you've just been mournful for the sins of God's people, for yourself, for the situation that the whole nation of Israel is in. You've been doing this a lifetime, because he was a kid when he was first taken into captivity. He's got to be in his 60s, maybe 70 years old at the time. This is a lifetime. And he is just 3 weeks. God sends this angel, touches him, knocks him to his knees and his hands, and says, you're greatly beloved. And then Daniel says, I don't have any strength within me. Who am I that you would send, that you would come and help me or teach me or make anything? No, who am I? I've got no strength in this. And then in verse 18, it says, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then saith he, knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee which things, which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that behold with me in these things but Michael the prince. For I also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood and confirmed and to strengthen him. The angel shows up to him. He's going to show him this wonderful vision, which is in the next chapter. But he says, you know, I was held back. I was held back. It says before this, In verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. All right. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. But I am come to make known unto thee, and to understanding what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. He has been 21 days he has been fasting. Michael, some people call him the archangel. He's just one of the head angels. He's been trying to get there for 20 days, 21 days. But he's got somebody opposing him. It's called here the king of Persia. Really, it would be the adversary. But all the stuff's going on in Persia. The Persian Empire is the same empire as in Iraq and, all of this is in the Middle East, right? I mean, Daniel has been in Babylon most of his life, which is in Iraq. Persia is the next major empire that's coming up along the way, and they'll sweep through and take over Babylon and everything else, which is today's Iran, the Persian Empire. The angel Michael says, I've had so much trouble over here. He has been giving me a hard time, and I haven't been able to get to you for 21 days. There's a war going on. Do I understand what it is and what's going on behind the scenes? Not necessarily. But it's a spiritual war. It went on then, and it's going on now. Daniel's beloved. And yet he had to pray. He spent his time in prayer and mourning and fasting. And God sent the message 21 days before, but it was delayed because Michael had to fight. That's interesting, isn't it? I don't have a clue. I think anybody who says they do is foolish. Okay? I don't have a clue why Michael is delayed. I don't have a clue why one of the great angels of God, his warrior angel, can't win the battle in a really short period of time. I don't have a clue for any of that. All I know is it says it. Daniel, a man beloved, it wasn't because Daniel wasn't holy enough. It wasn't because he wasn't meek enough. It wasn't because he wasn't God's man that this took 21 days. It was because there was a spiritual battle. The devil didn't want it done, and he was willing to fight to keep it. And Michael persisted and got it done. We got to persist. I mean, like I said, this wasn't put in Ephesians chapter 6 for nothing. This wasn't just pretty words. You either are a spiritual warrior, you put on the armor and you pray, or you're a casualty. If they're shooting up the neighborhood, you're either one or the other. You're already in the fight. You can't just say, I don't want to do that. There's no such thing as spectators as far as Christianity is concerned. Then he got again in First Chronicles. Just go there for a second. It's just interesting to see. I won't spend much time there. First Chronicles, chapter 21. one of the things that God did not told David not to do was take, don't find out how many people there are in Israel. Right? Don't do it. He commanded it. So what happens in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, it says, And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. He tempted David, and he got David to do exactly what God told him not to do. This was so that he could do something against the entire nation of Israel. And you know what happened? Thousands and thousands died in a plague because of it. Consequences. It's a spiritual battle. The stuff going on around us, the stuff going around all these other nations, it's all a spiritual battle. You can pray. You can love. You can speak the word. You can do the things that the scripture teaches us to do. We all can. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Just want to show you an example of Ephesians chapter 1. Just want to show you an example because God gives us scriptures to pray. You know, I love it. The Lord's Prayer, right? I just can't believe the Christian church half the time. All right? The disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. So what does the Lord say? Okay? Our. Okay. Who's everybody praying to? Jesus. Jesus didn't say that. He said, bring your prayers to the Father. Not to the Son. To the Father who art in heaven. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. And nobody listens to what he said. No, but there's got to be a time where you just do what you're told. Someplace along the line, just do what he says. Don't number Israel. And then he does it. Pray our Father. No. So frustrating. And then you don't even think that, he didn't really mean it. You know, come to the party at 10 o'clock. No, they show up at 8. The party hasn't started yet. Do what you're told in the Bible. Or they show up the next day at 2. Sorry, it's over. Do what it says. That's my point. This prayer, pray it. This is given to us after Pentecost to pray. All right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Okay, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and the love to all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is what Paul prayed for them. Do you think that this is a good prayer? I think it says, and I know I'm being a little facetious here, but think about this prayer. If this one comes to pass, how good can it get? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Would you like to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation given to you? that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Do you want to have a clue about this? Then pray. Pray that, as it says in 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, his Father, pray him, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. You pray this and ask for this and seek it, just like Daniel was. You want to know great visions and understanding and things like that? Put it in your head and heart and pray it. Persevere. Don't let it go. Be like the guy on watch. Don't let this one fall. Pray for this in your life. And just because you get a little tinkle of a little bit of it, don't stop praying for it. Because you only got a little itty-bitty thing. There's so much more. You know, it says in the scripture, we see through a glass darkly. We'll never understand it all. But you can keep asking. Daniel surely got a whole bunch. And I'm still trying to figure out everything he got. Pray. Your Father wants to answer this prayer. He wants to answer these prayers. He tells us. He wants you to have, in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe? He wants you to understand the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. And the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ. This is the same power that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The prayer, pray, pray, pray. You want to understand everything that God's get, the all spiritual blessings. You want to understand what God has done for you as the faithful in Christ Jesus. You got to pray. You can't understand this intellectually outside of asking your Father to teach it to you. This is not intellectual human knowledge. This is spiritual. You just keep watching and you keep praying and don't quit. And that's what I got to share. So, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you that you make it very plain and simple, my Lord. And I ask you, Father, that you help us all do it. I ask you your blessing on the food that we're about to enjoy. I thank you that we enjoy each other's company and fellowship. I'm grateful, Father, grateful to be able to share the word this Sunday morning. And I am so grateful, Father, for your love. Thank you for those that abundantly share, for multiplying it back to them. And I just love you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.